Hi, Emma.
I'm in today on behalf of the Wellcome Trust, among other. It's the 12th of September, 2009, at 6:20 a.m.
Yes.
Can you please tell me your name, date of birth, and where you come from?
Okay, I'm Nick Campling. I'm from Peterborough, and my date of birth is the 10th of August in 1954.
How are you feeling?
Well, it's a bit early for us rock stars, you know. It feels like the middle of the night, but it is actually morning. Nearly.
Can I ask where you heard about the Plymouth Project?
I think I saw something in the paper, and then somebody else who's involved with... I'm involved with a depositors action group of a bank on the Isle of Man that went bust, and somebody else who's involved in it saw it. And I've written a song that is about the collapse of the bank. And some bright spark said, you should really apply to go on the plinth. Okay, I thought. And I thought, well, there's no harm. There's no real chance I'll get on. And then I did, and here I am. It's very early in the morning on a Saturday.
How did you feel when you found out you had a place?
I thought to myself... oh no, what have I done now? And then I thought about it some more and I thought, well, hey, I've been up at that time in the morning before. We can give it a go. And yeah, it'd be interesting to see how it goes.
What are you going to do up there?
I'm going to sing a couple of songs that I've written, and I might ramble on gently to the microphone about the situation on the Isle of Man and what's happened. There's a lot of... a lot of people been hurt quite badly by the collapse of the bank. Lots of particularly elderly people who are living abroad, and they find themselves without money, and without money they can't get the healthcare they need, and sort of situations like that. And I wrote the song because I felt something needed to be said, actually inspired by a wonderful YouTube film of a guy whose guitar was broken by United Airlines. And he put this YouTube film up, and within about a month he'd had 4 million hits. I thought, well, that might be the way to get the word out. So we've actually we've got a little cartoon that's been commissioned to go with the song, so we should be up in YouTube as well.
What's the name of the bank?
The bank was Kaupthing, Singer and Friedlander. There was a London branch as well. And what happened was the credit crunch hit, and Alistair Darling and the Treasury here decided that Icelandic banks were trouble, and closed them down, really, at a stroke. Unfortunately, at the same time, what had happened was the bank on the Isle of Man had placed half of its assets in the London bank, so couldn't get it back. Placing those assets in the London bank was a serious error of judgment, we feel, by the regulatory authorities on the Isle of Man. At the same time, we feel pretty sore with the regulatory authorities here, who normally speak to the Isle of Man and let them know what's going on. This time they just nabbed the £500 million, which left us a bit bereft, really. And then what happened was that the Isle of Man government and Treasury decided that they would go for something that's called a scheme of arrangement, which would be an agreement between the creditors and the bank not to put it into administration. And this took 10 months of messing about and legal activity and so on before eventually it was voted out. But in that 10 months, you know, people couldn't get hold of their savings. And, well, as I said before, it's just appalling for the people who've been tied up in it. You know, there's one lady in particular who I've got to know. She's been and stayed with us. She was a youth worker on the Isle of Man. working for, I think, the local authority, and she wanted to come back to to England to live near her daughters, and sold her house on the Isle of Man. She banked with Kaupthing Singer and Friedlander anyway, so when she sold her house, she put the money in the bank, and at a stroke, the whole lot was gone. So she got absolutely nothing. And she's still, you know, fighting for getting it back. And, you know, there's people with diseases, cancer, and so on, and they can't get healthcare because, you know, in the UK you could, but if they're living abroad, and many of them are, you can't. And the real problem that's kind of started it was that with the anti-money laundering legislation here in the UK, whatever MPs and they do say, it's been said in Parliament, there's no legal reason why a person can't open a bank account in England even if they're living abroad. There may not be a legal reason, but there's a very practical reason, which is that the banks won't accept you as a client because of the money laundering legislation. So you ring up a bank in the UK and you say, can I open a bank account? And they say, well, no, you need to go offshore. So you end up in Jersey or the Isle of Man and or Guernsey. And then this kind of stuff happens. So when the Icelandic banks went down, everybody who had an account in the UK branches has been compensated completely. Everyone who had money in branches of Kaupthing, in fact, throughout the world, have been compensated, apart from the people on the Isle of Man. So we're not happy. We're not happy at all.
You've been badly affected by this, isn't it?
To be honest, I had a business account on the Isle of Man, and no. We were extremely fortunate in that we had a very big bill to pay just before the trouble struck. So I paid it, and that halved the amount of money we had on the Isle of Man. Otherwise, we could have very easily gone bankrupt, yes. So we were very lucky. But lots of people weren't so lucky. And I'm fortunate enough to have some time to be able to help out a bit, so I've been very involved with the action group, which has been, it's been fascinating really to meet lots of people, hear lots of people's stories of, you know, how this has affected them, and just try to do a bit to help.
Have you ever been involved with campaigning before?
No, not really. I suppose it's one of those things where you know, you have to kind of get caught up in something. And once that happens and you begin to see what's going on and the injustice of the whole thing, something makes you just a bit angry, really. And you think, you know, if there's something I can do, I'll get on and do it. Even if it means getting up at 5:30 in the morning.
So it was a business account. What is your business?
My business is that we make little guitar accessories. A little company called G7th Limited, we make guitar capos, which you strap across the strings to change key. And it's that's going well. So as I say, I have a bit of time because it's going well. It's not I've kind of organised it so a lot of the work is subcontracted. The whole idea was to make it relatively easy. And we've been just so fortunate, really, in the credit crunch that people are still buying guitar accessories. They may not be buying instruments, which are expensive, but you know that our capos are about sort of nice present size, price, and so on. So it's been going okay.
How have you been playing guitar?
Ooh, I must have picked up a guitar when I was about 15, I think. I'm never going to be great, but good enough to amuse myself mostly. Play a bit in church. Other than that, really, it's for my own amusement. Other than, of course, playing to millions of people from a plinth in London, which I never, for my wildest dreams, imagined would happen.
Was there any inspiration to start learning in the first place?
Yeah, there was, actually. There's a guy called... This was back in the 60s. And there's a guy called Bert Jansch, who played a tune by a guy called Davy Graham called Angie, which is just such a catchy tune, and almost every guitarist from at least from that era can play Angie, and that, you know, just it was just an ambition. I've got to be able to do that.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up on a farm in Essex, fruit farm. Dad was often up at this time in the morning, out spraying trees and things. And you know, it was a great childhood, really. Unlike today, where you know people are very, very careful how they allow their children out and so on. You know, I could be out on the farm, disappear off fairly early morning, and not come back till dusk, and nobody worried very much. No reason to. It was great. Yeah, very different to the sort of news you hear today, and you know everybody being so careful about the possibilities of their children being hurt or dragged off, and you know it feels like it was a very different life. Of course, I mean the Moors murders were around that time, but somehow that seemed a long way away. Whereas now I think with the way that communication is so instant, parents are much more careful. And in a way, I think that harms children. They don't develop perhaps the same sort of self-confidence and things that we were able to, because we were just able to roam.
Do you have any children?
Yeah, I do. I have three, and one grandchild, and two step grandsons, and they're all great. Yeah. Eldest Emily is now married to Paul, and we got Dan and Luke, and now Ellie, who is just about 10 months and just about staggering about the place and causing havoc, but she's a cheerful soul, which is nice. Simon lives in Peterborough near us, in fact so does Emily, and Lucy, our youngest, is in York working with a church up there, doing lots of social action sorts of things around York, working with lots of kids. So we're proud of all of them.
Does the church play a major role in your life?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I became a Christian while I was at university. and I wouldn't be anything like the person I am if that hadn't happened. It sounds like a cliche, but you know, Jesus has made a great big difference in my life. It's very important to me, yeah.
Is it something that you've passed on to your children?
Yes, it is. Not in a... You know, they've got to make up their own minds. And as things stand at the moment, two of them are very involved in the church and one of them isn't, particularly just now. And doesn't make any difference. We love all of them just the same.
When you're not at work, what do you like to do?
Well, I like playing my guitar, as you've noticed. At the moment, we've got a horrendous building project going on at home. They've just finished knocking down a lot of the kitchen and the complete lounge to do some rebuilding. What else do I do? Well, I've been, for the last nearly a year, I've been very involved in this bank situation, which keeps me quite busy. we entertain a bit. So that, you know, that takes quite a lot of time. I've got another project on at the moment. Some people did some arson attacks in our area, and we've got a couple whose son was killed in the 7/7 bombings, and their hedge was burned. And they've got about 50 Leylandii that are as tall as this ceiling, so about 9 feet. We've got to pull them all up. But we've worked out a method. Got a winch and various things. So, yeah, that's going to take a bit of effort. But Leylandii are awful things for that, because in the middle they're very, very dry. So I think they sprayed a bit of lighter fuel, just lit, and the flames were horrendous. And fortunately the fire engines were there fairly quickly. Managed to get it out. But it could have been horrible. Could have been really nasty. And they set they didn't particularly pick on this couple. They set various bits of hedge and so on. But this was quite a big hedge.
And this one off for reasons?
No, they've done quite a few recently. We've had various interviews with the police and so on. And I think they know who it is. And hopefully they'll be able to prevent any more. Yeah. Quite upsetting.
Got any hopes or ambitions for the future?
Oh. Well, certainly got a lot riding on my little business, because there's not much other pension. But as I say, that's going fairly well. I hope and pray that the daughter, who isn't currently very close to Christ, will come back that way and get back involved with the church. Obviously, you know, lots of hopes and desires that the children will do really well, and we'll be able to support them and so on, and then when the time comes they'll be able to support us. love having being a granddad. I'm known as Pops. Didn't particularly want to be granddad. When I was first told, because this was quite a little while ago, in the early on in their relationship, shall we say, I was told that she was pregnant. What did I want to be called? I said I wanted to be called Grandfather, Your Worship, Sir, and I wouldn't answer until that was possible. But of course, she's won me over in an instant. So, yeah, I'm known as Pops. And it's great.
Is there anything that you'd like to gain from your
training? Well, I'd just really like to get some publicity for this bank situation. It'd be fantastic if, as a result of all the efforts of people on the action group and just the depositors generally, all the letters we're writing to MPs and to the members of Tynwald, which is the Isle of Man government, and all the work that's going in, it'd be fantastic if at the end of the day compensation was forthcoming. you know, to be completely fair, there is some compensation. They compensate up to a limit of 50 grand, which sounds like a lot of money, but if you've got 300 grand in there, it doesn't feel like it quite, because you could lose 25% of it. And so, you know, if we could get paid out fairly quickly, that would be great. So if the plinth does a little bit towards that, I should be happy.
You got anything else you'd like to add?
No, I don't think so. I think if, as I say, if we can make a bit of difference by standing on a plinth and singing a couple of songs, that'll be great.
Brilliant. Good luck.
Thanks, Emma.
Thank you.